Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so excited to have you with us this Tuesday, as we are every Tuesday from 7 to 8-ish Eastern Standard Time. And as always, we invite you to join us in devotion. We'll start off with prayer. We'll have song, reading of scripture, and then we'll have an accessory prayer and begin our study. So as we start, we'll begin with prayer. Most holy and righteous one, we come praising you, thanking you, magnifying your name, for you are worthy, O God, worthy to be praised. And so we come before you tonight, O God, wanting to sit at your feet, wanting to sup with you, wanting you to come and sit with us, giving us revelation knowledge of Abba. We ask, O God, that you would continue to keep us, to hold us, to teach us, to mold us, and to make us as you intend, giving you honor, glory, and praise. And with that, O God, we just ask that as we start this meeting this day, that you would give our teacher insight, Brother Eric, as he's leading us in Revelations, that you would give the group the ability to ask questions and interact so that those who are also listening would be able to have their questions answered and that their ideas would be brought to the table. We also ask, O Lord, that those who are interested would call in to 646-478-4932 and participate with us. And as we go further in the service, O God, we just thank you for knowledge, revelation knowledge that you're giving us. We thank you for the ability of our growth and the strength that we're developing being a part of the kingdom of God. We ask these blessings now and always that you'll walk with us, talk with us, lead us, and direct us in the direction you want us to go so that we will forever be the living epistles that others may ask, what must they do to be saved and be a part of your kingdom building process. We ask this in Jesus' name. We love you. Amen.
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 Thank you.
Reading for today is Ezekiel 27, chapter 27, verse 1 to 26. The word
That's
of the Lord.
1 through 36.
1 to 36?
Yes. Okay. Sorry.
1 to 36. Thank you. Sorry. So the first reading is Ezekiel 27, verse 1 to 36. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, take up a lament concerning Tyre. Say to Tyre, situated at the gateway to the sea, merchant of peoples on many coasts. This is what the sovereign Lord says. You say, O Tyre, I am perfect in beauty. Your domain was on the high seas. Your builders brought your beauty to perfection. They made all your timbers of pine trees from cedar. They took a cedar from Lebanon to make a mast for you. Of oaks from Bashan, they made your oars. Of cypress wood from the coast of Cyprus, they made your deck inlaid in ivory, fine embroidered linen from Egypt was your sail and serve as your banner. Your awnings were of blue and purple from the coast of Elisha. Men of Sidon and Arvad were your oarsmen. Your skilled men. I'm sorry. Your skilled men, O Tyre, were aboard as your seamen. Veteran craftsmen of Jebel were on board as shipwrights of Calk your seams. All the ships of the sea and their sailors came alongside to trade for your wares. Men of Persia, Lydia, and Put served as soldiers in your army. They hung their shields and helmets on your walls, bringing you splendor. Men of Arvad and Helek manned your walls on every side. Men of Gamad were in your towers. They hung the shields around your walls. They brought your beauty to perfection. Tarshish did business with you because of your great wealth of goods. They exchanged silver, iron, tin, and lead of your merchandise. Greece, Tubal, and Meshach traded with you. They exchanged slaves and articles of bronze for your wares. Men of Beth Togarmah exchanged work horses, war horses and mules for your merchandise. The men of Rhodes traded with you, and many coastlands were your customers. They paid you with ivory tusk and ebony. Aram did business with you because of your many products. They exchanged turquoise, purple fabric, embroidered work, fine linen, coral and rubies for your merchandise. Judah and Israel traded with you. They exchanged wheat from minas and confection, honey, oil, and balm for your wares. Damascus, because of your many products and great wealth of goods, did business with you in wine from Helbon and wool from Zahar. Denitus and Greeks from Uzal bought you merchandise. They exchanged wrought iron, cassia, and calamus for your wares. Dedan traded in saddle banquets with you. Arabia and all the princes of Kedah were your customers. They did business with you in lambs, rams, and goats. The merchants of Sheba and Rama traded with you for your merchandise. They exchanged the finest of all kinds of spices and precious stones and gold. Haran, Tana, and Eden, and merchants of Sheba, Ashur, and Kelmat traded with you. In your marketplace, they traded with you beautiful garments, blue fabric, embroidered work, and multicolored rugs with cords twisted and tightly knotted. The ships of Tarshish serve as carrier for your wares. You are filled with heavy cargo in the heart of the sea. Your oarsmen take you out to the high seas, but the east wind will break you to pieces in the heart of the sea. Your wealth merchandises and wares, your mariners, seamen, and shipwrights, your merchants and all your soldiers and everyone else on board will sink into the heart of the sea on the day of your shipwreck. The shorelands will quake when your seamen cry out. All who handle the oars will abandon their ships. The mariners and all the seamen will stand on the shore. They will raise their voices and cry. They will raise their voice and cry bitterly over you. They will sprinkle dust on their heads and roll in ashes. They will shave their heads because of you and will put on a sackcloth. They will weep over you with anguish of soul and with bitter mourning. As they wail and mourn over you, they will take up a lament concerning you. Who was ever silenced like Terry, surrounded by the sea? When your merchandise went out on the seas, you satisfied many nations. With your great wealth and your wares, you enriched the kings of the earth. Now you are shattered by the sea of the depth of the waters. Your wares and all your company have gone down with you. All who lives in the coastland and apparelled at you, their kings shudder and horror with their faces are distorted with fear. The merchants among the nations hiss at you. You have come to a horrible end and will be no more. The word of the Lord.
I will be reading from King James, chapter 65, 1 through 25. I was sought by those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, here I am, to a nation that was not called by my name. I have stretched out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, according to their own thoughts, a people who provoke me to anger continuously to my face, who sacrifice in gardens and burn incense on altars of brick, who sit among the graves and spend the night in the tombs, who eat swine flesh and the broth of abominable things is in their vessels, who say, keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am holier than you. These are smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all day. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silent, but will repay, even repay into bosoms your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, says the Lord, who have burnt incense on the mountains and blasphemed me on the hills. Therefore, I will measure their former work into their bosom, thus saith the Lord. As the new wine is found in the cluster, and one says, do not destroy it, for a blessing is in it, so will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all. I will bring forth descendants from Jacob and from Judah and inherit to my mountain. My elect shall inherit it. My servants shall dwell there. Sharon shall be a fold of flocks, and the valley of Achor, a place for herds to lie down, for people who have sought me. But you are those who forsake the Lord, who forget my holy mountain, who prepare a table for God, who furnish a drink offering for many. Therefore, I will number you for a sword, and you shall all bow down to the slaughter, because when I called, you did not answer. When I spoke, you did not hear, but did evil before my eyes, and chose that in which I do not delight. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, my servants shall eat, but you shall be hungry. Behold, my servants shall drink, but you shall be thirsty. Behold, my servants shall rejoice, but you shall be ashamed. Behold, my servants shall sing for joy of heart, but you shall cry for sorrow of heart and wail for grief of spirit. You shall leave your name as a curse to my chosen, for the Lord God will slay you and call his servant by another name, so that he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth, and he who swears in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hidden from my eyes. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. Be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as the rejoicing, and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. No more shall an infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat from their fruits. They shall not build and another inhabit it. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people. And my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth children for trouble. For they shall be the descendants of the blessed of the Lord, and their offsprings with them. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. The dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountains, saith the Lord. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Amen.
Thank you, God.
Amen.
Amen. Family, now is the time that we come together and ask the Lord for help. This is a time for us to petition the Lord for things that we need and to ask Him to have mercy on us and on people who we know. It's also a time for us to talk about praises, wonderful blessings and things that the Lord has brought to us and our loved ones. So who has something for the Lord tonight?
This is Eric. I first want to thank God and acknowledge God as being sovereign and one who makes no mistakes, and that we as a people of God need to come to terms with that and understand that. And I say that on the hills. I've got two special requests, and they both deal with unexpected death. One of a young man, I don't even think he was 21, extended family member, lost a grandchild, and they're not sure of the circumstances at this point, but he was at a friend's house, and friend went to take a shower and came back, and the young man was dead. So asking for God's mercy upon that side of the Jefferson family as they come to terms with that and deal with that. And then another part of an extended family, cousin went to be with the Lord after a brief illness. But a mother of 89 has lost her youngest son 6 months ago and now her oldest son. And so asking that the Lord would strengthen and comfort her and the rest of that family. There are two other siblings still alive. To understand that God knows what's best. And while we don't always understand why people die, as Isaiah 57 says, the Lord is keeping them from the evil to come. Those that die in the Lord are being kept from the evil to come. And we need to understand that. Also, I would also continue to like to add my mom and her health issues, my uncle Wendell and his health issues in the rehabilitation nursing home. They're flooded with COVID, but as far as we know, he's okay. And my uncle Dwayne and his health.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. And thank you very much, Brother Eric. Does anyone have anything else for the Lord?
Yeah. This is Brett. I'm asking for prayer for my friend Sheila Henderson. She lost her mother about 3 days ago. The following day, her husband fell and had to be taken to the hospital. VA. And he's undergone surgery for her hip because he was hemorrhaging. And then she come home and find out that there's no light at the house. So, you know, devil's trying to play with her. I'm just asking for prayer for her. And then my cousin, we call her Nene, but her name is Rhonda Jones. She just lost her brother, Tony, and the funeral's going to be Friday in Louisville. But Tony, as a child, had polio, so he's always walked with a limp and a twisted body, but he's lived a good life. So I'm asking for prayer for my family and continue to pray for this Bible study, Dr. Susie and her children, and pray for the nation. That's it.
Thank you, Brett. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Brett. Thank you very much. Who else may have something to bring before the Lord tonight?
This is Margaret in Orlando.
or in Florida, and I just wanted to ask for prayer for our nation in preparing for our study this evening, reading through Revelation. We're promised many more sufferings and as the country is experiencing at this time. And I just want to pray for unity, for bonds to be made so that we can help one another during the difficulties that lie ahead. And I pray for the Lord's blessing for those who are hungry or cold or wanting for those basic needs because yes. of extreme weather and events, this pandemic that continues. Just beg for the Lord's mercy for the cluster of grapes that he would have mercy upon his people. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen, Sister Margaret. Thank you very, very much. Who else has Amen. Something for the Lord tonight?
This is Johnny Maine. Lift up on praying for our families and also for finding a place while it's everything is very difficult no matter where we stand. Yet, you're still praying. I know that there's a hope and our God is there. I don't know when is he going to do it, but just uplift us so we can find a better place or however place may be.
Amen.
Thank you, Sister Joan. Anyone else have a prayer or a petition to bring before our Lord Jesus Christ? This is Brian. I have a petition for the Lord, and it's about people and their relationship with each other, their neighbors, their family, their friends. The Lord has put us in a position of needing each other, of needing friends, needing to bind and to be wise and cohesive in our relationships with family. And as life becomes more difficult, as challenges increase around the world, it becomes more and more difficult to think of others because we think about what we need, what our situation is. And I just ask that the Lord touches people who we know and touches them with the ability to think about each other and help each other and work together and touches us as members of this Bible study and this Bible study family, that he touches us and enables us to work and get to know each other and be able to get to know the people around us, you know, that we encounter throughout the day and weeks and months, and have a heart of compassion for them rather than worrying about stuff. Okay, let's bring all of these petitions before the Lord tonight as a family, you know, as people who are praying together, worshiping together, studying together. Let's approach the Lord as a unified group that all love him and all know he loves us. So in that, our Lord and heavenly God, you have all of it. We look to you for anything good. We can't do anything good or have anything good or think about anything good without you. So we thank you for the many blessings you've given us. You are just so gracious to give us another day on this earth. You're gracious to give us health, that we're able to speak, we're able to study, we're able to fellowship. Thank you, Lord, for all of that. We do have some petitions to bring before you tonight. And Lord, you know our families. You know that many of our family members have illnesses, diseases, injuries. And we know that these things happen in a fallen world. We expect it. You know, you've told us what to expect, and this is part of it. But we ask that their grief be minimized, that their pain be shrunk, that their wounds heal quickly, and that they have a lot of their time here on earth to enjoy what you've provided through your creation, and that you know that their problems be reduced. Lord, we also bring those people before you who are feeling grief. I mean, real grief from people they know who have died or who are deathly ill. We're not very solid as human beings in that area, though we try. We have to look to you for guidance. We've got to look to you for love, for strength. And we just ask that those people who are grieving be touched by you, that their grief be minimized, and that they feel your love, and that overwhelms the grief and just extinguishes it. Lord, only you can do that for anyone. But we ask that for the people we love and for ourselves. Lord, we also bring our country before you, our nation, which reflects us as people. It reflects us as people in a fallen world. And so we can't expect our government, leadership, people who are able to accumulate money, people who are able to wield tremendous power relative to other humans. We really can't expect a whole lot of good to come from that, because it's a earthly, worldly, corrupted, and it may be even possibly satanic, a situation where people are able to overwhelm each other with their power and their wealth. So we don't expect a whole lot of good to come from that, but we do ask that you intervene and you provide some insulation from their goals and their selfishness, and us, that we may be treated better, that they may have some mind of compassion that tempers them some. And we know that only you can touch that, because people become very, very selfish when they can. And so we just ask that our nation be healed from those forces, and that the devil's schemes be foiled, they'd be delayed as long as possible, so that we don't feel this, our children don't feel it, and our grandchildren can look forward to a life on earth that they can enjoy. So, Lord, we just ask for your intervention. But we know kind of where we're at on this earth, and we know that no matter what other people do, we're going to look to you. We're going to look to you for everything. We're going to love you. We're going to worship you and glorify you, regardless of what happens with earthly things. But we do ask for your tempering and your help. Ask all these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. So as we come tonight, we are so excited about this study. We are nearing the end of our journey, but we have a little ways to go. And so we are asking if we can get a roll call.
Eric?
This is Shirley. Shirley from Maryland.
John in Maine.
Margaret from Florida.
Brian from Maine.
Brother Mateo in Maine.
Hey, Brother Mateo. Good to hear from you.
Absolutely.
Brett from Indianapolis.
Brett from Indianapolis. We got another call on the line. If you want to introduce yourself, you're welcome. If not, you don't have to speak. The 419 number. We're glad to
That's
have you
right.
with us tonight. And we are so excited you're with us. I know who it is now. We're so glad.
I was going to say, don't be calling people out.
I didn't say nothing. Be still. Just be still.
I have to bring a little levity to our study, because we get ready to talk about some stuff tonight that's like, whoa. Whoa. So
to Sister Margaret, I want to say one thing. Whenever you say Orlando, everybody knows that's in Florida, dear. Everybody knows that's in Florida.
Amen. So it's perfectly fine. It's perfectly fine, Margaret, if you want to say Orlando and Florida like everybody else. Ignore Eric. Keep it rolling.
Actually, I'm
teasing you, Margaret.
So here's an interesting fact. So here's an interesting fact. Now we know that Disney World is in Orlando, Florida, right?
Right.
That was not their first choice. Do you know what city was?
What?
No. Mobile, Alabama.
Wow.
No,
Mobile, Alabama has some property that they call Bellengrass Gardens, which is huge.
Hmm.
And Disney first approached them about building the theme park there. But Mobile, being an old port city with a few people in power, said nope. And so they went to Orlando.
Interesting.
That was interesting. I found that shocking while I was down there and read that history. I was like, get out of here.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah. Okay, so we got a roll call, and Dr. Susie is normally, you know, Brother Eric, if you're ready, let's go. And I want to take just a minute. Ooh, yes, already. I want to take just a minute because of our concerns and because of our prayers and because of our adoration for the Lord. I want to read a couple scriptures before I get into tonight's lesson. And I do this because I'm being prompted to, because given everything that's going on in this world, in our families, in our work life, in our home life, and in everything that revolves around us as God's children, the Lord is telling us these scriptures are important. So if you got a pen and paper, the first one is coming. I know.
Okay.
But this is important.
No, I'm just letting you know the time so you can monitor this all.
Yeah. So the first one is Mark 11, 22 through 23 to 26. And Jesus said to the disciples, "Have faith in God. I assure you that you can say to this mountain, 'May God lift you up and throw you into the sea,' and your command will be obeyed. All that's required is that you really believe and do not doubt in your heart." Listen to me. You can pray for anything, and if you believe, you will have it. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you're holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too.
Amen.
Anything. It didn't say something. It said anything.
Mm.
The next one is 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 and 9. And this is the New Living Translation. "We are pressed on every side by trouble, but we are not crushed and broken. We are perplexed, but we don't give up and quit. We are hunted down, but God never abandoned us. We get knocked down, but we get up again and keep going."
Amen.
2 Corinthians 5:7. "That is why we live by believing and not by seeing. For we walk by faith and not by sight, according to King James. But the New Living Translation, that is why we live by believing and not by seeing." And the last one I want to read is Philippians 4:6. "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he has done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guide your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus."
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
So that was the appetizer before the main course.
Amen.
Okay.
So last week
it tastes
we talked
delicious.
I'll let the chef know that.
Okay.
So last week we got into the great prostitute Babylon, and we talked about the system, and I told you right up front we weren't talking about a city. Last week we were talking about the religious system that the beast was putting in place.
Right.
And we talked about how that came about, and that Babylon really was a mindset of immorality, of pride, of self-sufficiency, and all of that. And it wasn't related to an actual city, but it was the place where self-centeredness and self-righteousness was formed, as we read in Genesis 11 with the temple of Babel that was being built in what was then to become modern-day Babylon. And they were building this. They said that they were going to build this temple to show the greatness unto themselves, not the greatness to God who created them and gave them the insight and understanding how to build, but to build this temple unto a greatness unto themselves, rebellion, if you will. And so tonight we're going to look at the part of Babylon that is the economic and the political system and get into how it failed. And so in our reading about in Ezekiel is talking about Tyre in this city, and it's a lot of parallel to what we're going to read here, and then discuss that, and then towards the end of the chapter, we're going to discuss the violent overthrow, and then that's going to set the stage for us next week to get into Jesus's ascension back to this world as king and as ruler. Okay?
Okay.
We all on port now?
Yep. Okay. Let's go.
if someone can read, since y'all ready to go, if someone can read Revelation 18, starting at chapter 1, and read through chapter 19.
No.
18 chapter 18, verses 1 through verses 19.
Okay. I can do it.
Okay. Thank you.
Revelation chapter 18, verses 1 through 19.
Yes.
After this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven. He had great authority, and the earth was illuminated by his splendor. With a mighty voice, he shouted, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling for demons and a haunt for every impure spirit, a haunt for every unclean bird, a haunt for every unclean and detestable animal. For all the nations have drunk the maddening wine of her adulteries. The kings of the earth committed adultery with her, and the merchants of the earth grew rich with her excessive luxury." Then I heard another voice from heaven say, "Come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins, so that you will not receive any of her plagues. For her sins are piled up to heaven, and God has remembered her crimes. Give back to her as she has given. Pay her back double for what she has done. Pour her a double portion from her own cup. Give her as much torment and grief as the glory and luxury she gave herself. In her heart she boasts, 'I sit enthroned as queen. I am not a widow. I will never mourn.' Therefore, in one day, her plagues will overtake her: death, mourning, and famine. She will be consumed by fire, for mighty is the Lord God who judges her. When the kings of the earth who committed adultery with her and shared her luxury see the smoke of her burning, they will weep and mourn over her. Terrified at her torment, they will stand far off and cry, 'Woe, woe to you, great city, you mighty city of Babylon. In 1 hour your doom has come.'
The merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore. Cargoes of gold, silver, precious stones, and pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, and scarlet cloth, every sort of citron wood, and articles of every kind made of ivory, costly wood, bronze, iron, and marble, cargoes of cinnamon and spice, of incense, myrrh, and frankincense, of wine and olive oil, of fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and carriages, and human beings being sold as slaves. They will say, the fruit you long for is gone from you. All your luxury and splendor have vanished, never to be recovered. The merchants who sold these things and gained their wealth from her will stand far off, terrified at her torment. They will weep and mourn and cry out, woe, woe to you, great city, dressed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and glittering with gold, precious stones and pearls. In 1 hour, such great wealth has been brought to ruin. Every sea captain and all who travel by ship, the sailors and all who earn their living from the sea, will stand far off. When they see the smoke of her burning, they will exclaim, was there ever a city like this great city? They will throw dust on their heads and with weeping and mourning cry out, woe, woe to you, great city, where all who had ships on the sea became rich through her wealth. In 1 hour, she has been brought to ruin. The word of the Lord.
Thank you, Sister Margaret. So any of you study a little history and remember the Great Depression and what happened, what caused that Great Depression and what happened with the stock market? Anybody remember that? History, late 20s, 30s.
Yeah.
And how the United States and just kind of turned on a dime and went to, just lost it. Everybody was living, the roaring 20s, was living good and was having fun, and all of a sudden, the world market system collapsed.
Amen.
It just collapsed.
Wasn't that was when people were jumping out the windows and stuff and killing themselves?
Yep. That's
right.
When bankers and stock market folks was. And what became of the country as we called it the Great Depression? You had food lines, you had people didn't have enough to eat. There was also a catastrophic farming calamity, the Dust Bowl, and the boll weevils was eating anything and everything in sight. You couldn't grow nothing. It was
Amen.
A chaotic scene. People were miserable because everyone had turned their attention to money and profits and a good living.
Mm-hmm. Material.
And that's what we're reading here in in this part of Babylon. Piece is that everything that they listed here would show you that the world commerce was all tied together. It uses these terms because that's what John knew about and what he read, but you can substitute that with everything that we're doing in today's world, the technology, the stock market, the Dow, the Nikkei, everything that's going on, the automobile industry, the housing bubbles, and this and that, and this are all tied together. And everybody that you mostly come into contact with, Christian or like, concerned about their 401k, how much money they're generating. They're concerned about what did this stock market do, what is my retirement going to be. They are all concerned about the dollar bill and how much they're going to get of that dollar that's proceeding in this world today. And don't get me wrong, we should be concerned about those things of how we take care of ourselves, but we need to be knowing that God is the one that is providing that for us. And we are not placing that as our altar that we are worshiping.
Yes, that's true.
Because this is what happens is that people have turned away from God and stopped worshiping God and started worshiping possessions, jobs, money, other people. And God is saying, no, I created you. I made you. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Not in any form, as he told the Israelites. Not in any of any bird, not of any fish, not of any oxen, not of any, you know, thing that that people could see, which is what the Israelites and the world was doing back in Moses' day. But that transcended into our day to mean, you know, jobs, possessions, you know, institutions, and all of that. And so when you read all of those lists of qualities there through 11 and 12, these are the commerce of the world. Gold and silver, jewels and pearl, fine linen, purple dye, scarlet, silk, scarlet clothing, every kind of perfume, wood, ivory goods, objects made of expensive wood, bronze, iron, and marble, cinnamon, spices, incense, myrrh, frankincense, wine, olive oil, fine flour, wheat, cattle, sheep, horses, chariots, and slaves. Yes, even traded in human lives. So this is the world system, the world economic and power system. And these merchants are participating in it because they're all getting rich. And they're worried about the dollar bill. They're worried about how much their piece is going to be.
Amen.
And God has judged that. And that's what he said. He's judged the religious part of it, and he's judging the economic part of it, because the economic part of it, believe it or not, can be just as bad as the religious part of it, because they have made the economic part the religious part, to worship.
Amen.
And to try to receive. And he said, no, that's not the way that that goes. But even in the midst of that, even in the midst of that, ladies and gentlemen, he gives one last call. We keep talking about, even through the tribulation, God has these interludes where he's talking to people and said, turn to me, accept me as sovereign in my son, Jesus Christ, and I got you. But if you don't, then I'm going to drop the hammer. And so even as he's destroying Babylon and the beast, he gives one last call. And that's in verse 4. Then I heard another voice calling from heaven, come away from her, my people. Do not take part in her sins, or you will be punished with her. For her sins are piled as high as heaven, and God is ready to judge her for all her evil deeds. He gives one last call, because there are still some folks who are on that fence. And I know y'all know some people like that too. They want to play both ends against the middle, see how far they can get. But now it's game time. You got to pick one team or the other. You can be up or you can be down.
All right.
And down is not good.
No, not at all.
That's for sure.
So he makes one last call, and he says, come away from her. You, my people, come away. And what I really love about God is that even in the midst of all of this, he still knows that true of heart, there are still some people that can be reached.
Right. That he has not given up. Right.
Right. And I say that to my brothers and sisters, because I know that all of you on this Bible study know this. But I say that to my brothers and sisters that are listening who may not participate regularly, is that that means he hasn't given up on you either.
Right.
There's still an opportunity. There's still a chance. He's a merciful God. He's a forgiving God. He's a righteous God.
Right.
He's a jealous God. But his righteous salvation will come to pass. He has decreed that, and God cannot lie.
Amen.
But he hasn't given up on you. If you still got breath right now, you got a chance. And
come
you
on.
Need to understand that, because you see that even in the tribulation period, which is the final act of judgment.
All right.
He still gives a call to my people, come out. Come away from her, or you will be punished with her. And the reason that he says that you will be punished with her is because if you don't come out, then you are her.
Right. And you believe
no,
in
that's
her.
Not, yeah, correct. As the kids used to say, they drink the Kool-Aid. So, I mean, that is very, very important for us to get across to those that we know who haven't committed or made the ultimate decision, because that's what it is, it's the ultimate decision of life and death. I mean,
right.
it really is. And I don't mean life and death as we know life and death of breathing on this plane, but I mean the life to live with Christ and reign forever, or the death in the bottomless pit with Satan forever.
Amen.
Amen.
Because that is the game. That is the game. And so this world system is being destroyed, and all of these folks who have gotten rich off of it can't believe that it's all gone. It says in an hour, which translates by some of my accounts that I've read, in one day. And you know, we don't think that the world system, economic system, can be taken down in one day. But I'm here to tell you, you remember 2009?
Yeah. When the economy went down,
What happened in
and
this
people
country?
People were losing their homes. People were losing their homes and so forth. Yeah. Yeah.
And
it
what
didn't
did
take,
they do?
It didn't take but a day.
The banks was riding high, and the mortgage companies and all this underhanded, you know, fake paper and
yeah.
I mean, it was just unbelievable. And you know, they went to Congress and said, if you don't give us trillions, this country is going to fall apart. And if this country falls apart, the rest of the world will follow.
Right. Is that not what's getting ready to – is that not what's occurring now during this pandemic?
And part
itself?
Of that is absolutely occurring. Is that the world economy has slowed to a trickle.
Right.
Because,
all right.
Because you don't want people out and mingling, because they can make other people sick and people can die. So they're trying to, you know, pause, as they say, but you got all these other people say, no, we can't afford to do that. Because we got to keep turning and turning and turning the engine. And none of that is anybody saying, Lord, what are you trying to say to us?
Right, right, right.
What should we be doing? How should we
right.
be handling this? Give us guidance and direction. But no, it's and I said this last week, no, it's all, well, we the vaccine and the, you know, science and the doctors and the, you know, the chemists and all that stuff. None of them folks have breath without God's hand.
Right. Exactly. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
And yet
Amen.
we can't as a nation, as a world, sit down and say, okay, Lord, you are in charge. We see our sinfulness and our idolatry, and we confess that before you. And we ask you to forgive us, We ask that you guide, lead, and direct us. And you know how I know that works? Read the 51st book of Psalms. And I don't need you to read it now, so I'm going to give you the Cliff Note version. King David.
Go on.
A man after God's own heart, the word says, was in charge of a Jerusalem, picked by God, anointed by Samuel to be king instead of Saul. And he, when he should have been out with his army fighting, was in Jerusalem, or actually the city of David, Jerusalem, and was out walking along the terrace and saw this woman taking a bath and decided that he wanted to sleep with her, and he already had 7 wives, and he did. And she sent word that she was pregnant, and he said, okay. He called her husband, who was in the army, had him to come back, tried to tell him, okay, well, I know y'all fighting hard. I need you to go on home and spend some time with your wife, and, you know you've been away a long time. And Uriah said, nope, if my captains and my fellow warriors are sleeping under tents tonight, I shall not sleep with my wife. I shall sleep in the streets of Jerusalem. And he did. The next night, David brought him back in and said, okay, well, before I send you back, why don't you, hang out and party with me, have food and drink and have a good time and try to get him drunk, thought he'd go home, and nope. He went outside and he slept outside the castle. So then finally David wrote a letter and sent him back to the captain. And the guy didn't read the letter. David sealed it and gave it to the head of the army. And the guy said, and the letter said from David about Uriah, put him in the fiercest part of where the fighting is so that he can be killed. And that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And David was convicted by the seer Nathan, which caused David to end the 51st book of Psalms.
Mm.
And God told him, he said, you could have had whatever you wanted. I'd already given you this, that, and the other, and you could have had whatever you want. All you had to do was ask me. But the fact that you did what you did, I'm going to cause trouble in your household. I'm not going to discard you, but I'm going to cause trouble in your household.
And he did.
And when you read the 51st book of Psalms, David explains that and then tells you what he said to the Lord so that he could be reinstated. And that's important.
All right.
That's important to us because we are living literally in the last days, figuratively in the last days. The last days to some of us anyway, just by virtue that we all know that we got to leave this earth. So they may not be the last days as we talk about the tribulation because no man knows when that cometh. But they're still our last days because I suspect, and I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm being reality. Most of us are closer to the grave than we are closer to our birth. If you know what I mean,
amen.
I don't know the age, but we really are.
In other words, we're on the other side, right.
I mean, we really are. Judging the room, most of us are beyond 40-ish. Okay, so
right.
I mean, we need to think about those things as we walk in our daily lives, as we try to spend time with the Lord, as we beseech him on our behalf of the things that we do and encounter and the things that we need and the things that we thank him for. We need to do that. And so this, and I'm, Dr. Seuss, I'm gonna bring this to a close with this last part. So can somebody read 20 through 24?
Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her.
Then a mighty angel took up a stone, like a great millstone, and threw it into the sea, saying, thus, with violence, the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found anymore. The sound of harps, musicians, flutists, trumpeters shall not be heard in you anymore. No craftsman of any craft shall be found in you anymore. And the sound of millstones shall not be heard in you anymore. The light of a lamp shall not shine in you anymore. And the voice of bridegroom and bride, bridegrooms and brides shall not be heard in you anymore. For your merchants were the great men of the earth. For by your sorcery, all the nations were deceived, and in her was found the blood of prophets and saints, and all of who were slain on the earth.
So in 20, before 20 and 19, you know, 16 through 19, it talks about how terrible it's going to be when this sorrow hits and what these people are seeing. But then in 20 it says, rejoice, O heaven. And why is mm-hmm. heaven rejoicing? But why should heaven be rejoicing over the fate of Babylon? It tells you later.
Getting rid of sin.
It's
getting rid of sin.
Right, he's getting rid of sin. He's getting ready to judge. He's getting ready to avenge his prophets, his martyrs, the people that have accepted Christ as his Savior. And so that should be rejoiced yes. because now God's final judgment act is going to come into full view. And that should be
right.
rejoiced because as Brother Brett said, there's no more sin. He's doing away with
right.
it. And the angel that picks up this ball to say this great millstone, according to my reader that I'm looking at, said that weighed over 1,000 pounds. So this was a strong angel to pick up over 1,000-pound boulder and throw it down. So you know when you throw something in the water, it makes a big splash or something, then it just sinks. I mean,
oh, yeah.
right.
disappears.
Right.
That's what
right.
it's like. And so this great Babylon system that's been built is going to disappear forever. And the analogy that, and I want to, if anybody can help me with this, never again will the sound of music be heard there. No more harp, songs, flutes, or trumpets. It will be, and then it goes on to talk about industry. But why do you think why do you think John illustrates? Yeah, John. Why do you think John illustrates that part with the music piece, that no more music is going to be heard?
Quiet.
Not disappeared. The music that was being played in Babylon was not acceptable as a holy type of music. It was more secular, and people were dancing and rejoicing to that type of music and not paying attention to God and what the angels had been singing and what you heard in the churches. So.
Well, right. So it wasn't the hallelujahs, and it wasn't
Hallelujah.
The praising of God.
Amen.
And so we know that God likes music. We know that God likes
right.
music. But he didn't like this music. And so
Amen.
Now he's saying, you're not going to have that. And what it really translates is to this, visual picture. What it really translates is when this system is destroyed and when these people are judged, and when they go below, there's going to be tormenting and gnashing of teeth.
Amen.
So get that picture. There's going to be torment. There's going to be yelling. There's going to be screaming. There's going to be howling. There's going to be gnashing of teeth, grinding of teeth. It's just going to be awful.
Amen.
And it's going to be hot. It's going to be awful.
That's right.
And so God has made this distinction, because we know that his angels have been singing, people in heaven have been singing, the martyrs have been singing in heaven, hallelujah, they've been singing the
Amen.
Praises of God and the Lamb, and the 24 elders and the four beasts are singing and praising, and it's just a good time. But he's making a distinction that it's not going to be like that on the other end.
Right.
There's not going to be any healing. There's not going to be any work. There's not going to be anything that they can enjoy, because they've been enjoying this system for so long and been manipulating God's people through it.
All right. So no more Beyonce, Janet Jackson, Birdman.
Okay, I got
Not unless
Jackson.
They go to being like Mahalia Jackson.
We can't.
That. Hey, Brother Eric.
Yes.
Hey, before we go, I'm glad you touched on the music, because music has been one of the biggest distractions and one of the biggest tools used to trick God's people into committing sin. If you look at most of the music, the rock and roll genre is mostly singing to Satan, and the hip-hop genre and the R&B genre has turned more into singing to him, but also they do explicit stuff, and most of the music is sexual. So either way, whichever genre of your music you go, the people who run the music industry with the same people, make sure that the only music that's put out is filth. Just wanted to throw that in, that music is a very, very important, intricate part of this entire system we're talking about.
Hey, Brother Mateo, you're absolutely right. And Dr. Susie, and so what transpires in verse 24 is that we're getting ready to start setting the scene. It talks about the no more brides and bridegroom and no more and all of that stuff. So now we're getting ready to transition 19 into the wedding feast of the Lamb, which then is ushering in God's and Jesus' reign. And so 18 really says that the system is destroyed and over with. But I want to give a little story just because Brother Mateo just made me think about this. I was in Mobile, and I was invited to a listening party of a new artist. A guy called himself K7. He is a nephew, great nephew of the Isley brothers.
Hmm.
And some of you remember the Isley brothers, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So this young guy, he probably at this time was in his late 20s. He had this album, and they were playing this music, and you know, we were there, and hors d'oeuvres and wine and all that stuff, and he played one song, and I went to him afterwards and I said, man, that is a very well put together album, but you got one song on there that I couldn't listen to that, and I couldn't let my grown kids listen to that, because it was explicit.
Well said.
It was explicit, and I'm like, no, man, brother, you shouldn't be. Well, that's what they want today. I'm like, well, I won't be buying it.
Mm.
And here's where I'm going to leave. Here's where I'm going to leave. And I got this from a preacher, and I can't remember one. Can't remember who it is, but I think it was
go on.
I think it was Wright in Chicago. I think it was Wright in Chicago. Jeremiah Wright. And this was
a new one there?
Yeah, this is Jeremiah Wright. So I can't take credit for this one, but I have used it. So this was when R. Kelly came out with Ain't Nothing Wrong With a Little Bump and Grind, and he said, that's snakeology, because there's a whole lot wrong with that in God's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And music, as Brother Mateo said, is a gateway to influencing people.
That's true.
Yep.
That's
and
true.
So now that system is going to be destroyed. There's not going to be any more of it. And then we're going to move into 19 of the Lord, the marriage of the supper of the Lamb, marriage feast of the Lamb.
All right.
Thank you all for tonight and your attentiveness, and I hope you got something out of it.
Thank you.
Eric, I really like us to go on and kind of just entertain some questions for about at least close to 8:30, because actually the studio is having problems with the Block Talk, so we have to run a timeout. So this is a good time to ask questions and dialogue.
And what
we can also do is, as long as we leave 5-10 minutes to do an invitation, we're good.
All right.
Well, any questions or comments, or as they say,
well,
I want to make a speech. Ladies first. Ladies first, Brett.
Go ahead.
This is Joni Wayne. I have one thought about what Chaplain 2 about. Sure, it was Chapter 2. It's regarding about the people that that God is giving them a chance, right? And especially for those who just woke and recognized, even though they are confused because they just realized that there's things that's odd and they need to follow. Because I believe that God created our heart and mind and soul, and then as we grow, you know, things are being influenced, just like in music as well. But now that we are now, some people are being woken up, but they're confused. So comes God saying, wake up, get out from there. It's time. So I like the fact that he does give us a chance, and he's always warning us. And remember, he always calls you even if you don't want to. He talks to you within your heart because he created that. So we always bound to go to the Bible, and it wakes up more. So, yes, I like that fact. And especially the music. I love music, and I enjoy jazz. And somehow I realized that at first I do not know that it was a jazz, but what I do is I listen to the tune and I like it. But then when you listen, I didn't realize the wordings. And now that I know the wordings, I'm like, oh.
all jazz, you know, don't get me wrong. All music is not influencer for people
evil
to start down the wrong path. But Brother Mateo is right. You know, rock and roll was definitely a genre of satanic and just unspeakable things. R&B used to be talking about, you know, real love, but then it got explicit and sexual.
A mixture.
And you know, gangster rap and all that kind of hip hop stuff just went way beyond what it should have been, you know. And so, but there is acceptable music. I mean, folk music.
All right.
Jazz instruments, and you know, I mean,
instruments. It does. I do enjoy the instrument, but when I get to a point where I like it, I see the words. I'm like, oh my goodness! I said, Lord, do you really take this one or not? So.
Well, you know,
all right.
If it's getting explicit, then yeah, we might want to turn that off or turn away from it. And ain't nothing wrong with turning it off.
Self-control.
Amen.
And be careful of
Brett,
the video.
You had something you wanted to say.
Yeah. I think we need to keep in mind that music as a whole is good for the soul. The thing is, the problem is that you have a lot of people that are writing songs that don't even know anything about God. They know nothing about Jesus Christ.
No, that's right.
And if they've been in prison, they're going by what somebody else is telling them. They may have sat down and read the Bible, but they don't believe the Bible. They look at it as just another book.
Amen.
They don't take it seriously because they have not been exposed to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
But if you haven't been
brought up that, go ahead.
I was just going to say this, Brother Brett, and I'm sorry for cutting you off, but I think this is important for us to realize is that you got a whole lot of people out there that use religion for a con to try to get what they want and to usurp God's authority. And that's really what really happens to a lot of people. They think that, you know, okay, if I throw the Bible out there and throw God out there, you know, I'm gonna get what I want. And the Lord is like, no, that don't work that way.
Man. Yeah. You know, when Brother Mateo was talking about that, it reminded me, I think the earliest mention of any kind of musical instrument was back in Exodus when Moses had Aaron stretch out his staff and the waters parted. And when they got to the other side, they broke out the tambourines and everything else.
Yeah, Marion.
They danced. Yeah, they had dancing. They were dancing and they were singing and they had a feast.
Yeah.
So, Dr. Susie, I would ask it if you would extend the offer of invitation of fellowship, and Brett, if you'd come behind him and close out.
Sure.
Cool.
I got
Who'd you ask to do that?
I asked you to do it because I'm having to work in the studio, so I please ask you to do that.
Okay.
You've got 3 minutes, and then Brett will have
to. If you have been listening to us and if you are looking for a relationship with God and Jesus Christ, I would ask that you pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, I humbly come before you, thy servant, asking that you would come into my life to rest, rule, abide, and take control. I submit and surrender that Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, was crucified on the cross, placed in a grave, and rose on the first day of the week and ascended into heaven, and that he died for my sins. And I ask that you would come in and cleanse me of all unrighteousness and be my Lord, Savior, and guide and direct my path. If you pray that prayer and you believe that you are saved at this particular point in time, we would ask that you would find a Bible-believing church where you can study and at some point in time be baptized. Baptism is not your saving grace. It is only the outward appearance for the world to know. But if you have prayed that prayer and you believe that in your heart and you ask Jesus to come in and take control, you are saved at this particular point in time. And we welcome you to the family.
Amen.
Well, thank you for that.
And
everybody, thank you for joining us for here at Loud Talk Radio. Remember, we meet here every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just let your fingers do the walking on your cell phone and dial 646-478-4932. Oh, and remember to invite somebody else. Talk about the Bible study and what you've learned. Remember, Dr. Susie is the host and moderator. Until we meet here again or we hear from you on our Dr. Susie's Sunday service. Hey, have a great night and enjoy the rest of the week.
Be blessed.
Thanks. Amen.
Good night.
Bye. Thank you all.
God be with you.
You as well. Ciao.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.